We're going to talk about the subject of time. Time. What is time? You know, the thing is that when we're given life, we have this beautiful thing called time. We're experiencing it together right now. We are having a time. Hopefully we're having a good time, right? At the Flintstones, they used to say, we'll have a gay old time, right? I mean, you can remember that song. Having a good time together. But right now, time, what are we doing with our time? How do we look at our time? How do we count our time? See, time's an interesting thing, isn't it? I used to work at a radio show in broadcasting, and one of the things that the general manager used to say is, time's a really weird thing. He said, because as soon as it comes, it's gone. And when you're working at a radio station, what do you sell? And he said, all we sell is air. We just sell air. That's all we do. We sell air. That there's going to be something happening during that air time, and that's it. So you have this thing, and as soon as it comes, it goes. You can't grab that moment. You're in the past. You're heading to the future. You can see the moment coming. You try to grab it. All of a sudden, now it's past. And your future goes to present to past real fast. You slide through. You're sliding through in time. Now, when we were at the Feast of Tabernacles, Leslie Bosserman did a seminar, and I don't know how many of you were there to participate in it, but I want to take something. I'm not going to do this as well as she did. We're not going to spend as much time as she did, but we're going to do a little exercise. So I'd like you all to stand up, and as you look at this line here, your life is somewhere on this line. This is the beginning for you. When God started to weave you together in your mother's womb, you had a beginning of life. And somewhere in this continuum is where you are. This is the present. Now, some of you are older. Some of you are younger. And I wasn't looking at you when I said older, Linda. That was accidental. I wasn't thinking, look at Linda at this moment. But I did look at her. But seriously, no, I didn't. Some are older. Some are younger. But I want you to do something with me. And this is a little exercise. So on your left hand, you have the past. You have present, this is today, and then you have your future. Everybody has different ages on either side of where we are at this moment. But what I want you to do now is I want you to close your eyes. I want you to reach your left hand out along your side and your right hand out. Your left hand is representing your past. Your right hand is representing your future. Now I want you to think back to a moment 10 years ago in your life. And I want you to grab that with your left hand and just grab it. Grab a moment. Where were you 10 years ago? What were you experiencing? What were you feeling? What did you know in your relationship with God? Were you married? Did you have kids? If so, where were they? What were they doing? Were you single? Were you a little child learning to ride a bike? And I want you to grab that moment. And I want you just to think about where you were in relationship to where you are today. All right, I want you to let that moment go now. And I want you to take your right hand. And I want you to think about where would you like to be if God wills and grants us 10 years of life? Where would you like to be 10 years from now? I want you to grab that with your right hand and hold on to it. And I want you to think about where you want to be in that time. If God so wills to give you 10 years of life, what would you like it to look like? What would be different than today? What would you be doing? Where would your family be? How old would your kids be? What would you be doing? All right, I want you to let go of that. Now I want you in your left hand, thinking back to your past, I want you to grab a moment 1 year ago. Where were you a year ago? And I want you to look at that moment and just ask yourself, what were you thinking? What did you believe? What did it look like then, 1 year ago in time, if you look at your past? Where were you then? I want you to let that go, and I want you to grab with your right hand a moment 1 year from now. What will be different 1 year from now if God wills to give us life? What would that year from now look like to you? Will you be any different? Will you be changed? Okay, I want you with your left hand to grab a week ago. Where were you 1 week ago today? Were you in a trial a week ago? Were you feeling anxious? Were you fearful? Were you happy? Were you rejoicing? What were you doing a week ago today? Now, with your right hand, I want you to grab a week from today. If God wills and gives you life, where will you be 1 week from today? And you all say, right here, David. Where will you be? All right, I want you to let that go. And with your left hand, I want you to grab yesterday. What were you doing yesterday? What was life for you yesterday? Think about it. Hold on to it. Let it go now. With your right hand, I want you to grab tomorrow. What will you be doing tomorrow? What will you be thinking tomorrow? I want you to take your right hand and your left hand, and I want you to bring them right together. Clasp them right in front of your body. And I want you to be right here in this moment. What are you doing right now? What are you thinking about? Turn with me in the scriptures to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And Father, we just pray that these words would come alive to us and that we would see your teaching and instruction, and not just to know it with our heads, but to believe it in our hearts, and that it would take a point in us to understand the things that you have revealed. It says here in Philippians chapter 3, I want you to notice here in verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, not that I have already attained, but he was seeking to know the Lord. He was seeking to share in the fellowship of his sufferings and the fellowship and the power of his resurrection and the righteousness that he has. He says, not that I've already perfected, but I press on. I press onward that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Now, here's one of the most marvelous truths. And it was awesome because in the Bible study, the discipleship Bible study, we covered this week. One of the most awesome truths you will ever realize is you and I were made in the image of God. What an honor that is. So where every animal is made after its own kind, you and I were made in the image and likeness of God. And not only that, but God is doing a new creative work in you and me to make us into the image of his Son, as it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, till we all come to the perfect man, to the unity of the faith, right? To the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when you see what is he saying, what is Paul saying when I want to lay hold on and press on to lay hold of that which Christ laid hold on me? What is he laying hold on you for? To be the child of God. To come here to the point where you are not just in the flesh with a down payment, but the reality, the resurrection, that as it says in 1 John chapter 3, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the power of what's driving Paul in his life, pushing on, laid hold for what? And to lay hold. Ultimately, your life and my life is pushing something forward. Now notice what Paul goes on to say here in verse 13. So brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Now listen how powerful that is. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. So he's saying forget. What did Paul have to forget? His worldly actions. What did he do? Murdered. Imprisoned. Persecuted. Tortured. All the credentials he listed. He was a perfect person, right? He was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. According to the law, he was right on target, a Pharisee. He was zealous. He was all these things. What is he forgetting? The old man, everything that's not pressing forward to lay hold of something that Christ laid hold on him. See, the things that he valued, the things that he thought were important in his life, the things that he was pursuing, and then a lot of the wrong behavior, Paul had to forget that. How do you go forward in life if what you're doing is bringing the past with you? And isn't that what so often happens? See, there are things that we understand by the knowledge of God that we don't forget. For instance, you wake up in the morning. I'm not forgetting I'm a created thing. Right? I bring with me the knowledge that there is a God and I am not Him. We bring that into each day. We remember that. I remember that I am a husband. I remember that I'm a son. I remember that I'm a father. I remember that I'm an employer. I remember that I'm a pastor. I remember that I'm a friend, a neighbor. I remember who I am. So Paul's not talking about forgetting who you are, the responsibilities you have in life, or the things like that. What is he talking about forgetting those things behind? See, here's an amazing thing about the past. I want you to think of a moment in your life right now where you did something that you really can look at it and say, man, I was really unhappy when I did that. Just grab one of those moments in your past. Just take one really doozy thing. Just take a big whopper. I've got one. I've got the ones that I can go back to college and just like, what was I thinking? You know, and just you have that. What chance do I have to change what happened in college? What chance do you have to change what you did? There's an interesting reality. This is what it is now. This is the history. You can't go back and undo the things you've done. All you can do is press forward. That's all you can do at this moment at your time. Because once it's past, it's in the past. You cannot go back and rewrite your history. Your history is your history. If you don't like your history, what's it say? If you fail to learn the lessons of the past, you are doomed to repeat them. So when we look at our past, what are we to be doing? What would God have us do? Learn something, right? We need to be learning from it. But here's the thing. Sometimes we come to this day, and what happens is we wake up in the morning. Woohoo, I'm alive. My eyes open. I am conscious. Yes. Good beginning to the day. And at that point, we start to get up. Maybe we're praising God. Maybe we're getting ready. But with what do we clothe ourselves for the day? Do we say, you know, I really didn't like the way I got treated here, this timeline here. And you know what? This was bad. You know, my dad did some really bad things right here. I didn't like the way this went. And we start to get clothed with a bunch of stuff from the past. And what we do is rather than waking up new, we wake up and start getting dressed with all of our junk. And the reality is, there's something that Paul was saying, you've got to forget. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't remember what happened or the event that happened. But how are you dealing with yourself when it comes to the things of shame? Or how are you dealing with yourself when it comes to the things that have done against you? The realities are, we can be living today in the past, allowing sin to still do a work in us today. I want to wake you up to something so beautiful here. Turn with me over to Lamentations. The book of sighing and crying and of tears. And notice this book. These verses will always mean something important to me. Because when I was seeking God and I was not finding answers, it was the book of Lamentations where God spoke to me so powerfully about life and about what it is that I'm doing and why we go through these processes of life and why we go through the struggles. Notice here in Lamentations chapter 3 and in verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning. What's new every morning? The Lord's mercies. Do you realize that when you wake up in the morning, you can just wash yourself in the mercies of the Lord? It's a new day. The thing that can so bog us down in our lives is we get so bogged in the things of the past and the histories, and we allow the past to continue to impact the future in a way that is quite negative. We can bring sin with us. We can say, you know what? I'm so mad at what they did. And we can bring unforgiveness into our new day. We can dress ourselves with it. We can put it on. It's like putting heavy coats on. Oh, I didn't like that when my dad did this when I was 9 years old. And, oh, man, is that coat heavy. And it's like weighted down with weights inside the arms and in the shoulders. And you're putting on these heavy coats. And we do this in our relationships so often when we don't allow for forgiveness to lighten the burden and the load. And what happens over the course of time is you just don't realize you're walking around with so much weight and burden on your shoulders. And it happens so subtly. Sometimes in a marriage relationship, it's just one little thing. And you don't forgive it. And then it's just another little thing. It's just another little thing. And then what happens is somewhere along the line in your present tense, you're going to get to a point here on this day and you're going to remember all the stuff that was happening back here in the past. Tick and tick and tick and tick and tick and tick. And you don't realize how heavy it is. And you just burst forward because you're holding all these things against that person. See, this is the result of a lack of forgiveness. And this is a result of bringing the new mercies of the Lord into our lives every day. We continue to hold the past. And so what do I want to do this morning? Yeah, I want to bring the sin that somebody did against me a year ago and 5 years ago. And I want to bring, yeah, you know what? My father did this. My mother did that. My brother did this. My employer did that. And we can take and grab from our past all these things. And believe me, as a person who went through seeing my father leave when I was 9 years old, understanding that my father was going to take another woman and make her his wife and have a family, and he would be a father to another person. I can remember that. But the reality is, I put it on every day for years. And I didn't realize how, by bringing the sin with me every morning, and every day, I was strengthening the sin and strengthening my hurt and remaining a victim of the past day after day after day, year after year. And it wasn't till I could come to a point when God opened my eyes and said, "You got to let all that go." Because the things would come out and there would be all this raw emotion and all this stuff, because the burden of the sin of the past just kept being a part of the relationship with my father. And in my own life, whether I was with my dad or not, it was still there. And you see, that is where the essence of what Christianity is trying to say. God is forming you and shaping you into a new creature. But if you always are carrying your past, you're still the same old creature. Where sin has its place, it does a work in our lives to keep us from being the people that God made us to be. We must forgive. That is why God says in Matthew chapter 18 that a person who doesn't forgive, he has to leave them bound. He makes them be bound. And like Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, the only conditional part of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." And then when Jesus was done teaching how to pray, he went back and he said, "And surely I say, inasmuch as you forgive people, sins you shall be forgiven. If you do not forgive them," what? You won't be forgiven. See, that should be a sobering thought in our life. Because we do get hurt. And we do have people sin against us. And frankly, sometimes the sins that we're holding the most are the ones that we've committed ourselves. Where we won't allow God to take our own sins from us. That somehow we feel our sins are so bad and so awful and so terrible that somehow the sacrifice of Christ is not big enough to pay for those things. And so there's a point that God wants us to see, and that is His mercies are new every morning. Turn with me to Psalms 103. Notice here in Psalms 103. Beautiful psalm here, Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Notice verse 3, Psalm 103, verse 3. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Praise God. Notice what he says in verse 8. "So the Lord Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. What a beautiful relationship with the Lord. That he wants us to not be living life or be thinking and treated in this way. He sees where he's laying hold on us to take us. And see, the reality is, as a body of believers, we engage in that forgiveness by being forgiving. Do you believe that? When Jesus said, if you forgive others, you will be forgiven. And if you don't forgive others, you won't be. So I want you to think about this, you who are struggling with your past and clothing yourself in the morning with iniquity, whether the iniquity you've committed yourself or the iniquity that others have committed against you. What are you dressing with today? What is the clothing that you're putting on in the morning? And when you find that you are bringing the past into the present and you are holding on to these things, it is the perfect time to say, I make judgment. I will not deal with this person according to iniquities, but as unto the Lord, so I shall deal. Because as he gave me mercy, so I must give mercy. And as I was unable to repay, this person probably is too. Because guess what? Just like we can't go back and fix our past, they can't either. They can't either. How do you change what's happened? Now, it doesn't mean there wouldn't be reconciliation or maybe even recompense if somebody steals $10 from you and they come to the knowledge of it and you say, you stole $10, and they say, you're right, and they give you the 10 back. Great. Now you have reconciliation and you have recompense for what was done. Sometimes recompense is needed. But what are you going to do? What if they never give the apology? Are you waiting for the apology to forgive? See, the beautiful thing that God says in Romans 5 is that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. We weren't asking. He was just offering. And the heart of a godly person is to be ready to offer the forgiveness, to wash the past and not continue to deal with someone according to what they have done, but to see who they can be in Jesus Christ and to deliver the same merciful, tender, gracious gospel of the Lord Jesus to that person, that they would also embrace the forgiveness of God and the love of God, that they could give it to someone else. But as long as we take from the past a spirit of unforgiveness into the day, and we carry these things, I want you to know, you're going to feel miserable. Because if you bring the past to the present day, and you bring the sins of your spouse, your children, your employer, your employees, your parents, the only person you're really hurting is you. See, this isn't necessarily a game between you and other people. The primary relationship is between you and God. So much of the scripture says, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord. If you do it as unto the other person, guess what you get? You get the world. That's what the world does. The world delivers kind for kind. You're mean to me, I'm mean to you. You're good to me, good to you. That's why Jesus said, what credit have you if you love those who love you? Even the world does that. That's worldly, to be kind for kind. But show me the man who is kind to the unthankful and the evil. That's godly. That's different. So think about where you are in the present. What are you bringing into your day? Now, here's a brilliant thing about God. He did not make us to be robotic or just acting out of some kind of reaction to life. He gave you a brain and intelligence and a heart and the liberty of choice. So when you say, well, how am I living today? What am I consumed with? You know, you can tell yourself what to think. That's kind of an amazing thing, isn't it? We were talking about giving thanks in everything recently. Do you know why God says to give thanks in everything? Changes the way you think about everything. When you give thanks in everything, it changes the way you think about everything. When you find yourself in a relationship that's going negative, rather than whining and complaining about it and bringing yourself down low, do what we did when we were together. Take the time to give thanks to God for the relationship. It's amazing how when things are going bad and you just say, thank you, God, that I'm going through this right now. Thank you for this relationship. Thank you for the pain I feel at this very moment. Thank you for that person. Thank you for what you're doing. It changes everything because what you're doing is bringing God into your pain and tribulation and giving him the chance to make today a different day. A day not based on the past and the hurt, a day based on what today is about. And what are we doing? We're pressing forward to something else. So what are we pressing forward to? Turn with me over to Ephesians. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 5, pick it up here in verse 8. For you were once darkness. How does darkness come into life? Through sin. Were we born in sin? Yes. So we all started in a place of darkness, apart from God. Notice, we were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's present day. You can do this today. How are you walking? What have you brought into this day? Notice what it says in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Wow, isn't that interesting? So now that you're in the light of Jesus Christ today, find out what is acceptable to the Lord today. See, you can't go back. You might say, oh, that was unacceptable. But when you get to this point, now how do we live? What's acceptable to you, God, for today? What's acceptable now? So, and what does it say? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather expose them. So now when you start to feel either your own sins and lust coming out, and maybe you want to go down a road today that is ungodly, that is saying that's just dissipation, that it's like I am ignoring God, I'm not walking by faith in that anymore, then expose it and just say, God, I don't want to ever do anything without you. I'm exposing my thoughts to you. Exposing is a very powerful thing. And what we're doing is we're getting back into the garden, where in the garden, we didn't want to be justified by God. We tried to justify our own sins. We were afraid. We were naked. We were hiding. Now God is saying, no, no, expose yourself to it. Rather than letting it sit in hiding or being ashamed of it that you don't want to tell God that you thought that thought, no, just let him have it. He already knows you had it. He already knows. See, the confession that we go through in life when God tells us to confess our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, it's not because he needs knowledge of the sin. It's because we need knowledge of the sin. We need the knowledge to know I sinned and I am a sinner. We need the knowledge to say, God, I was sinned against and I'm hurt and I'm being crushed. Expose it to God. You don't have to be tough before God. Be transparent. Allow yourself to be humbled before him. Allow yourself to be low. Allow yourself to be weak. And what he will do is he will take the humble and he will make the humble mighty and powerful. He will take the lowly and raise them up. He will take the weak and make them powerful and strong. This is the whole process of God. And we think that in our world and in our society, it's about covering up what we do, hiding what we do. And I'll tell you, if you want to come to joy and you want to come to life for today, let it out. Let God see who you are. Start your day letting him see and putting in what you know you need to do. What do I want to do today, God? What is it that pleases you? Why am I here? Thank you for this day of life. Thank you for the liberty. Thank you for making me the husband of Stephanie. Thank you for making me the father of Bronte, Eric, and Jack. Thank you for the employees I have. Thank you for the people I can serve. Thank you for all the things that you've appointed for me today. And I didn't even know they were coming. Just help me to be ready. Help me to be ready for today. So whether I'm in my office doing work or I'm in the church here with you, I am ready for today. The Spirit of God, being clothed with the righteousness of God, receiving of the Holy Spirit fresh in the morning, stirring up the gift that's been given to us so that we're available and ready for every good thing. Now we can be fruitful because where is our pursuit? It's on Him. Who tells us what to think? See, God does this amazing thing. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He gives choice. But then He says, but I counsel you, choose life. Choose life. I want to bless you. And when we can strip away all the gunk in our hearts and in our minds and just say, God has always been on my side. And really all He wants to do is bring me to a place of blessing. Why wouldn't I just want to give in to that? Maybe He does know better. Maybe He is wiser. Maybe He can see. And so He says, finding out what's acceptable, exposing the works of darkness. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, He says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Do you realize one of the very first things we're called to do is realize we're His and He's giving us the choice? See, when you're blind, you've got no choice. You live the way you live because you don't know any better. When you come to Jesus Christ and the light shines, you now can make a choice. The liberty of the truth is you can see the difference between good and evil, and now you get to make a choice. Seeing good is not the end game. It's the beginning. Seeing the light is the beginning to the new creation. Because if you can see the truth, you can then believe the truth so that you can live by the truth. And the truth will bring forth wonderful fruit in our lives. And so how does this happen that we go forward? It has to do with what we're doing today. So notice what He says then. Verse 15. So see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want you to think about what He's saying, because that word circumspectly is not necessarily a word we use a lot, but it would be like saying, hey, be careful. Be careful where you're going. Don't live like a fool here. Think about what you're doing today. See, being careful means taking thought. And one of the biggest deceptions that we can run into in this world, and it's what the world, when you really step back and look at it, you know what the prime thing, if you look at the underlying thing, we can talk about it being evil, we can talk about it being wicked, but here's the thing, it's about getting you to not think. I just need to veg out, man. And so, well, what's your pleasure to veg out? Well, this is what I do to veg out. I get drunk, I get high, I go to drinking parties, I go to sporting events, I go to whatever. Whatever it is, you can overdo it, and then instead of being something that maybe is usable and can be done in a godly way, it becomes done in an ungodly way. It gets overdone, and that becomes life. And life is about going from step to step to forget and to not think. You have been given power, more than you know, to think and choose what you want to do and the way you want to live, in honor to God or not. God will let you veg out. He'll let you just turn it off the mechanism and not think about what you're doing. But you know what happens when you just drift through a day? You might wake up the next day and drift through too. And maybe when you are getting used to drifting, you'll do that the third day and the fourth day and the fifth. And suddenly you come along a sermon like this and you're like, man, you know what? I'm just going through the motions. I'm maybe even doing some of the right things. I'm checking off the right boxes. But am I really pressing forward? And what is it that I'm doing today that's going to take me to where I want to go. You see, success in life in anything is built upon daily things. See, if you aren't praying right now, if you're going through life and you're saying, you know, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to study God's word, I want you to really rethink that today. You don't? Who says? I didn't realize slavery was allowed in this country. So who's telling you don't have time today? I want you to think about it. Who's telling you don't have time? See, because ultimately, if you say, I don't have time for God because I'm so busy with my work and my family and my duties and my friendships and my sporting events or whatever it is, if you don't have time for God, who told you that? See, and that gets back to where is truth and light? Is it coming from a place of darkness? Is it coming from a place of light? How is God shining in, and how is finding what's acceptable to Him part of our day? Do you see, if we are away from God, how are we going to be growing closer to God? And you realize that if you don't pray today, the day's gone. You can't go back. If I didn't pray yesterday, I can't go back. If I don't pray today, what if I don't pray tomorrow? And you see, what are we taking through our life? We talked about we're going from the past. We're sliding quickly through the present, and we go to the future. We're sliding right through the present. And every moment, it just went away. Every day, it just goes away. But here's what's cool in the days. When you are making God the focus of today, do you know what that helps you do? It helps you take a step closer. See, in every good relationship that you have in life, I bet it wasn't just one day. I bet it was a day and then another day and then another day and another day and another day. It kind of works that way, doesn't it? The best relationships are the ones that are continually being cultivated and continually being worked at, where time is set aside for the person to cultivate a better relationship. So you know what you have to do? You don't say, well, that's all I'm doing all day today. That's it. I'm doing nothing else but that one relationship. That's not the way it works. So here's what happens in your day. Your day's going to get packed. Does anybody have like just time where they're like, I don't really fill up my whole day. I don't even know what to do anymore. Okay, that's good. All right. So even the retirees, I hear the retirees are more busy than when they were working. So here's the thing. If your day's going to get packed, the question is, how are you going to pack it? You have choices more than you know about the way you pack your day. So if the emphasis isn't that I'm going to be proactive and make a decision about what I'm doing today, and if seeking the will of the Lord and finding out what's acceptable to Him today isn't part of my plan, then what are you going to do? See, if the Lord's not part of your plan, what do you know of yourself for that day? What was that? It's going to be about me. Is that a good thing? No. If it's going to be about me, that could be a bad thing. What could that be? It could be the darkness coming back. What does it say in Galatians 5? It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Has anybody experienced that here? Where you like, you have seen and know and can give testimony to the fact that when you put your heart and mind into pursuing the Lord, the things that can weigh you down, the darkness, it just doesn't hold water in your thinking anymore. When you're walking in the Spirit, it takes away those things that were pulling you down. Now, this is very powerful when you realize that if I actually believe in God and believe the truth and walk according to the promises as if they're true, it changes my today. It changes today. How are you going to go through today? You can go through it with God, or you can go through it on your own. And God gives you the choice. Don't ever mistake the fact that God gives you the choice. So He says, walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's for today. What is His will for me today? And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. In other words, that you're just getting drunk and your life's just getting frittered away. It's just going away. It's just, there goes time. You're passing through time. You're not pressing toward anything. You're just passing through today's. And ultimately, that doesn't lead where God wants you to. But he says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's for today. That's for today. Notice back here where we just were a little earlier in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, where we ended off there. The Apostle Paul, he said in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But of this whole thing about in verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 15 says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature or complete or perfect, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. We forget the things that are behind. They don't come into today. We press forward. What decision am I making today that's going to push me forward and ahead to the way God wants me to be walking? 1 Peter 4, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And notice here in 1 Peter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You were called to that. I was called to that. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? He's saying your time is for the will of God. Today. If it's not for the will of God, we agree it's going to go back to ourselves. Then it'll be David's will or Cal's will or Lynn's will or whoever's will it is. We're giving up our will and our way for the way of God to walk not according to our flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so today, what do we bring into it? Now, see, something very powerful happens when we start doing this. How do you get to success long term? It is not the big, huge events as much as it is the daily little things that over time produce something tremendous. I want you to think about your life. I ask you to say, where will you be tomorrow? Where will you be a week from now? Where will you be a year from now or 10 years from now? God willing that he gives us life and we come to those points. To be ahead in your relationship with God and closer to him, it requires something today. If you keep saying no tomorrow, tomorrow may never come because it always ends up becoming today. And if today's not the good day, then when is? You see, in the relationship with God, how are you packing in the things that take you? How many of you have ever said that there's something I want to do, but I'm not going to start it today. I'm going to get to it and then realize that never happened. What, 15 of us? How many, every time you guys say you're going to get to it, you always get to it every time? Well, there's a lot of people not voting. And, you know, I thought we were voters in here. So the reality is today. Now, I want you to think about how powerful this is when he says that, verse 2, he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. That's sacrifice and surrender, isn't it? See, this is where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to live by the things that you believe are good in the world, or are you going to live by the things that you believe that are good in God? And see, what's amazing is God can come into all the things you're doing now, probably. He can go to work with you. He can have some entertainment with you. He can spend time with your family. It's not a matter of saying that you're exchanging one out. It's just who's invited to the party. Because God should be invited to the party. God should be invited to work. If you're going in to anything and God's not welcome, you should know, then I don't want to be here. If it is embarrassing to God to be there, it should be embarrassing to us to be there. Why make our best friend, our Lord, our Savior, and our Father uncomfortable with what we're doing. And why would we want to live life apart from God? Because if we truly believe this gospel, we know that this isn't just about jumping through a hoop to get to some form of salvation and enter the kingdom of God. We are learning a different way of living and thinking that is based on truth. God should always be a part. You know the prophecy is this. So let's just break it down here. When we think about taking something from the servant, the whole point is that God would be all in all. That God would be everything in everything. Everything in everything. So the way we're raising our kids, or the way we're managing our finances, or the way we're working at work, whatever, that God would be everything in everything. That He would be seen by us, and we would make choices in what we're doing based on what God would have us to do in that area of our lives. And anything else is just saying, I really don't want to surrender and submit to you. I really just want it my own way. So he says, don't do that any longer. But notice what he says in verse 3. We spent enough time. We spent enough of our days, enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Notice how he says drunkenness, and then he talks about drinking parties. Drinking parties could be any number of things, but ultimately he's just saying, I'm just going to dissipate my life and time without God being in the picture. I'm not thinking about God at all. And ultimately, when you're not thinking about God at all, you're not pressing forward to the thing for which Christ laid hold of you. So we want to be thinking about that. And then notice in verse 4, in regard to these things, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You know what? It can feel strange to you too. Well, I always used to do that. I've always done that. My whole life I've done that. That's been a part of who I am. When you come to Christ, you die to the self. So when you're baptized into the water, you're saying, I'm dead. And when you're baptized today, what are you saying? I'm dead. It will feel strange because the life you now live is the life of the Son of God. Living by faith in Him, by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. It will feel strange, my friends. And maybe you've been on this walk a long time, but you can look today and say, you know what, I was called here and I've been journeying. As I look at my today, I can see that God's been working in my life. I am a different person, but there are some things that are still there that I've never let go of. See, maybe that's for you today to say, are you packing into your day things that just don't need to be there anymore? They just don't really matter because they have nothing to do with the two great commandments. And they have nothing to do even with just normal rest and recreation. It's just things you've done, and you've always done it that way. You can change today. You were called to change today. To press forward. If you're saying, man, I want to be closer to God. You're not going to jump from here all the way into the kingdom. You're going to start taking steps. What step are you taking today to draw near to the Lord? What step are you doing to make that a reality? So turn with me now over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 says this in verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And basically what all these things are, he said, you know, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about the things you need in life. God already knows what you need. Don't worry about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. How many times when you get up in the morning do you start packing your day with worry? What's going to happen? I don't know what will happen here or here. I don't know what my kids are going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. What if I lose my job? What if I don't have enough income? What if I lose my house? What if this doesn't get corrected? What if it doesn't work? What if, what if, what if? And we can build a whole life about worrying about tomorrow. And Jesus gives us the greatest advice in the world about time and the use of time. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. He's not saying don't make plans. He's saying all you can do is right now. Do you get that? You cannot change the future by worrying about the future. What you do to change the future is what you can do right now. That's it. And so many things in the future are outside of our control. I don't know when this arrow hits a point and I die. I don't know when the day of my death is. All I know is I got right now. This is what I have. Praise the Lord. Right now. Praise the Lord right now. So what is today? And every day, if you get up in the morning and you pack in, who am I? I'm David Liesenfeld, son of the Most High God. How are you going to live? To your glory, to your honor. May your will be done and may I become weak before you. That you would increase and that I would decrease. That I would be a godly husband. That I would be a godly man in my life. Into my children, that I would teach him in ways to go, that as I walk and work, I would be godly and always ready to minister. If I meet people at church today, I'm always ready to minister to them, that I give my life in service and sacrifice to others. And in whatever I do, whether it's in resting or playing or working or doing whatever, I am ready for you, for your will to be done in my life. Your will first, not my own. In all the things, if I have baggage, I forgive him. I forgive her. I don't bring it to today because I need to look at my kids and my wife and my fellow workers and my neighbor in a pure hearted way today. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning for me, and I take of his mercy and I give it to everybody. I'm not going to try to deal with them according to the past. We might have to talk about the past. We might have to talk about what happened. We might need to change our trajectory for the future, but I'm not going to bring the emotion and the hurt and the sorrow and the sin into that conversation, because if I bring all that into that conversation, I'm going to be right back in the past, right back in the unforgiveness, right back with all the weight, and now where do I go? And the reality is that we keep going through the same motions of days when we try to pack the old in. So when you come to this moment of today, pack in a right heart before God, a gentle and humble spirit, and walk forward seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And in whatever I do, I just have to focus right here, right now. Do you realize if you look at your life in one day increments, it gets a lot easier. It gets a lot easier because you know what worry is? Worry is wondering what's going to happen in the number of days that are ahead, and oftentimes things that you can't control. And what we often do is when we make our calculations, you know how we make our calculations? According to the human thing. We see this happening and we're like, uh-oh, this looks like it's going this way. And here it just keeps going down. Oh, no. That's what it looks like. What we don't realize is maybe God already had a plan that when you get here, I'm going to shoot you up like this. But see, we don't factor this moment into our futures. We think about down here and we think it's going south when God has a plan. I'm going to take you south to take you north. I'm going to bring you low to take you high. And so the reality of life is when you start to get into these situations in your life, you can only do today. That's it. Husbands, are you having trouble with your wife? Do today. Wives, do today with your husbands. Today, be a great wife. What does the Lord say? Submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. See that you respect them. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Don't try to think of that for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. All you have to do is be the man, the woman, the child, the person God called you to be today. Today. Because if you start worrying about tomorrow, or how am I going to do this for the next year, I have to do this for the rest of my life. Woo! That is a load. Boy, you can pack in a lot of tomorrows. So we can talk about packing the past into today. What if you take the whole of the future and pack it in today? You're going to be anxious. You're going to be worried. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to be sad. You're going to be depressed. You're not going to be able to figure it out because all you can calculate, because you don't know the future, is stuff like this that gets you worried and you leave God out of the equation. I'm saying today, bring God into the equation. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So how do you pack today? You break it down into a simple thing. It's today. Today. It's all that's required of you today. As God has given you life, do your best life unto God today. And whatever you do, whether it's a Sabbath and you're coming to church, it's a Sunday, you're working around the house, it's a Monday and you're heading into the office, or whatever you do, pack your day the way God would have it. But right now, all I have to be concerned about is following His will. Right now, that's it. And carrying out what God would have me to do. So what does He say? Tomorrow will worry about its own things. So don't pack worry into today. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's enough. Now turn with me to James. James chapter 4. And notice here in verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit." Okay, now listen to what he says. "Whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." You know what our life is? It's a series of one days. It's just a series of one days. That's it. It's just a series of one days. I don't know when I'm going to die. So therefore, what can I do? I can focus on right now. And what am I focusing on? Seeking first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Walking in His will with my whole heart, with love for Him and with love for others. That's what I can do. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen in my days I can't control. I don't know what's going to happen, what any other person's going to do to me. I don't know what events in the world. I could be driving down the road and get hit and be in an accident. I could die. I could be paralyzed. All kinds of things could happen. I don't know. But that's not for me to be concerned about. All that I have to be concerned about is my moment, my conscious moment. Is it seeking first the kingdom of God and pressing forward to lay hold of the thing for which Christ laid hold on me? So today I need to organize myself to make sure that I'm hitting the key things that to me are important to do. So when you say, we don't know because our life is a vapor. But notice what he says here then. So it is a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now, I want you to notice this, because this is not a statement about not planning. It's not a statement about not being organized. It's a statement of humility that we lay our plans before the Lord, and He's the one that establishes them or not. He can do what He wants. And when we live life with that faith, bringing God into today, even through trials, we can say, well, if the Lord wills, but if not, what is? Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were told that when the music would play, they needed to worship the false idol? They said, we're not going to do it. That was out of their control, right? They had no control on what was happening. And when they said, if you don't do it, we're throwing you into the fiery furnace. What was their answer? Whether we go in and you kill us or not, it doesn't really matter, because we're not bowing down to that God. We serve the true God. And in that moment, they were ready on that day. They were walking in faith and they knew it's not about this world's life. They were looking down here to the resurrection of the dead. They knew where their life was in God. That's what they wanted. So they made a choice for that day. If today's the day for me to die, so be it. By God's will and authority, let it be done. If He wants to save me, He saves me. If I die, I die. But here's what I do. I live for the will of the Lord today. Until the last day of my life, I must press forward to the kingdom of God, to all His righteousness. And so they made a choice, and God showed up. And God didn't let them die. God didn't even let their clothes stink. And the only thing that got burned was the stuff that was binding them together. He set them free. Do you ever think that God might do that for you? That God might do something that doesn't look natural or normal in your life, that people say it can't be done, it's going to be this way, when they start preaching this kind of trajectory? Well, this is what's going to happen. Maybe. But I know a God that He can take all kinds of turns off that path. It's not even a problem. In fact, let me tell you about our God. When He designs things to go in where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to be killed in the flames of fire, the natural course was death. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't go to death. They were given life. But did they just get back to here? What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Who knows what happened after that happened in experience? What happened to them from there? They were elevated in status. He not only did that, he took them up. You know God loves that story? Read through the scriptures. God doesn't like getting back to neutral. You got big armies? Woo, God's like, great. You know what? They're bringing a bunch of stuff. I'm going to not only destroy the army, I'm going to let you plunder all their stuff. Now you're going to take all their animals and their gold and their silver and their swords and their... He's always back in to getting you up, not just to neutral, up. Now this is the God that we serve. And so today, I don't know where today holds, but I do know the God we serve. And whether my arrow is pointing flatline, up or down, it really doesn't matter. Because we're all in for Him today. So what do we do? What is it going to take for you to press toward this, to the end result of your life? It's going to take not worrying about tomorrow, but thinking about, what if I started today to do something amazing? When God showed me that I was seeking righteousness of my own and not His righteousness, and when I was so lost in the world without Him, yet being very religious and having a form of godliness but no power of it, I realized something, that I was seeking word and knowledge, but I wasn't seeking the word, Jesus. I wasn't seeking life and relationship with Him. And I realized, I haven't actually been seeking you. I've been seeking this. I've been searching the scriptures daily, thinking in them I had life, but it wasn't bringing me to you, Jesus. And what if I just seek you today? Will you come today? What if I seek you tomorrow? Will you come tomorrow? What if I seek you every day, and all that is done is what happens in my house when I come on my knees before the Creator of the universe, and I never see you act in my life. I never see anything, but I come to the day of resurrection. And then I see you face to face. Every day of seeking would be 100% worth it. I don't need to see. I seek His face. I seek to know. It's His timing and His revelation for what He does. And have I seen miracles? You better believe I've seen miracles. I've seen amazing things in my life, but it's at His discretion. And it's at my availability. I'm ready, but I'm not needing. Today, I seek Him. I seek His involvement. I seek for all of you that the power and the glory of God would be in your lives. That you would be refreshed when you come to a place like this. That you would receive some encouragement and water to know that tomorrow's a day. And I want you to plan that day when you get up in the morning and pack it right. Pack it the way you see. Use your brain that God has given you. Use the word that God has given you. Use the Holy Spirit that God, and be submissive to the will of God. And let your days be guided. And take the steps that are necessary to progress you forward to the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful thing. So my friends, let's live this day for Him. And if the Lord wills, we will wake up in the morning and we will pack our day with a little more sight to the kingdom of God and to His righteousness. Let's praise Him.